إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. قدروا شريف يستشعر أكتب الله تعالى أزوال أسيس ملائكة both engaged in this. Obviously, when we say Allah Ta'ala engages in this, Allah Ta'ala's engagement is unique. So, how does it apply? It applies by Allah Ta'ala sending mercies and his special kindness upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When we talk about the Malaika, and the Malaika do this in two ways. Their Salat we mean, they praise Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they make dua. So Allah Ta'ala sends and they make dua. So in this sending of durood, Allah Ta'ala wants that we should also join in. Allah Ta'ala is doing it when the Malaika are participating, but Allah Pak wants to honor us as well, that we can also get a share in this. So you see thereafter the Ummah responding in different ways. Hazrat Mawla Yusuf Saab from London, Mutala. Some of his friends got together and they targeted 1 billion durood sharifs. Not 1,000, not 10,000, not 100,000, not 1 million, but 1 billion. And they achieved it. Where there is a will, there is a way. Nowadays when you hear someone is a billionaire, it's not a surprise now. It's a surprise. Before, you say, can it be possible? Now, it's already like current. In vogue, popular billionaires. So if they can be billionaires in rands, they are billionaires in durood sharif, then what's a surprise? Our Akadir, the ulama of Yemen, they had a great share in this thing. Durood Sharif, also praising Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, showing the highest level of regards and respect, and sometimes naats and in praise of Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reciting poetry. They read all. And they emphasize most on emulating Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They went against reciting some couplets in praise of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but they impressed the greater than all this to emulate Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with respect and the deep love, emulating him and emulating him with deep love. Now this deep love comes in as in two ways. Sometimes someone just has the love, he's just inspired with love. And then that love takes him up, takes him further. So first he's given an inspiration of love, and after he's inspired with love, then that love pushes him, moves him. See? Like It's not a good example to quote. How else to explain to you? You see a girl, and on the first sight you love her. And after that, you just leave it like that. Then you work towards the fulfillment of this love. Now, at first sight, and she smirked, that she was so good, and everything that you had looked in before meeting her, in that first sight, after that, what you do? Then you work for the fulfillment of that love. So that's one approach. That you're just inspired with love, and then you work towards the fulfillment. Some people have it in that way. Abdullah bin Salam, radiallahu anhu, is from the Banu Qaynuqa. So, he says his own story. He says, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did you see my people, the Jews? Qawmun buhutun. They make a lot of false allegations. For them to make up stories, make allegations, is simple. So before I announce my Islam, then I want to do two things. One is, I will ask you some questions. The first question I want to know from you, Ya Rasulullah, is the child that is born, what makes it resemble the father or resemble the mother? That's the first question. So Rasulullah answered with a smile. Is when the couple is intimate and the fluid of the man overwhelms, then the child resembles the father. But if the fluid of the woman overwhelms, then the child that is born will resemble the mother. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, I didn't know the answer. Jibreel Islam stopped me now. So how calm a Nabi is? Nabi is not shaken. Why is not shaken? He knows, he's certain that Allah is with him. La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana. Allah is with him. Is there any reason for him to shake? I will shake. I'm all alone in the splight of mind. Will shake. And the Nabi is comfortable in all situations. There is alike. Nothing to be worried about. Then he asked, what will be the first food that will be served to the Jannatis? So the first food will be the liver of the fish, the extra part, the liver of the fish. Some places they've got it, but with that they will be served a bread, and the bread will be made from the earth. Right? From the earth, bread will be made and will be served to the. So, someone asked Muhammad Yaqub Sahib, Rahmatullahi, that is the founder of Talib Diyoband, why is it that the earth will be served and how will it be the earth is served as a bread? Muhammad says, the nutrients that are found in any food, where do they come from? They come from the earth. Right? When they come from the earth, right, the earth is sifted, and then the nutrients come from there, then they transform, right, into wheat or whatever. But the base is that. So Allah Ta'ala will sift the earth out, pull out the nutrients, I'll serve you the bread. Then he asks, all right, but why won't they be served with the food of Jannat straight away? Allah says, it will be that class of Allah's servants that had not completely enjoyed from the comforts of this world. You see, in this world, there is the poorest of the poor and the wealthiest of the wealthy. The wealthiest of the wealthy, he'll see that he tastes everything. Whether it is that ice cream that is found only in Medina Munawwara, pista ice cream, where else in the world you find, or whether it's that pie that is found in Makkah, Mukarram, wherever, whatever food, but you don't get it at all. So the wealthiest of the wealthy will eat that. But the poorest of the poor, would he have enjoyed that? He wouldn't have enjoyed it. So Allah will introduce him in stages, alright? First, enjoy the ultimate of this earth, so that you don't have an urge, I didn't taste the earth fully. I didn't taste it fully. So you got the ultimate of the earth, the essence of the earth, you got it. When you've got the ultimate of the earth, then Allah Ta'ala will introduce you to the food of the Akhirah. So he doesn't have that thought now, I didn't taste everything of the earth. At least when I was speaking about Jannah. One person will come up and he'll ask, Ya Allah, I aspire for a farm, have a big farm. But throw my seeds and that he must just blossom, must just grow up. And then he will throw his seeds and the plantation will be in a second, in a wink of an eye, that'll be the plantation, the growth. It'll come up of maturity, harvested, and piled up all in a second. Istiwa'uhu wa ihtisaduhu ala tarafati ayn, in a blink of an eye, everything is done. So, one Arab was there, we were living in the sticks now, he got more livestock, you see. So farmers are different, they got some more livestock. So he's a livestock farmer. So, Ya Rasulullah, you will find that person to be a Quraysh or a Ansari, because they got farms. We don't aspire for this thing. So you see, the aspirations will continue. Whatever you aspire here, you can't say it will end. Aspirations will continue. Allah will fulfill them, that in a second it happens. Because now, in this world, you have to wait, now the rain must come, is it the right time, then insects, then you have to wait now, so after 3 months, 4 months, then it comes up of its full, then you get someone to harvest, and you still get someone to pile it up, it takes such a big time. But in general, Allah doesn't want you to stress. So there's a couple of things that are unique in Jannah. One is, you totally stress me. Absolutely no stress. Here in this world, you need some type of a stress for life to continue, isn't it? For life to continue, there must be some stress. So you get up in the morning, say, all right, the wealthy to the poor, right? The wealthy needs to know, I must go and open my business, otherwise, how am I going to do my things? I got a car, I got mansions, I got all these things here. If I don't get up, then how are my businesses going to run? So the wealthy is stressed also. And the poorest of the poor is also stressed. I need to do something, what's going to happen? Pet ka kya hoga? what will happen to the stomach? So the wealthy also is stressed, and the poor is also stressed. In this world, nobody can say that he is stress-free. But I just showed, you know, this morning, I showed someone, to have a relaxed mind, let's do two things. I said it some days back also. One is, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى. You want good in everything, then just hold on to taqwa. Taqwa means in anything that you're doing or you are embarking upon, see that you don't displease Allah Ta'ala. Whether it's a word, whether it's work, whether it's within the home, whether it's in the business, whether it's in the masjid, wherever, whether you are alone in the toilet, wherever, in the office, but just see that you don't displease Allah Ta'ala in whatever you're doing, small or big. Just keep asking, am I pleasing Allah Ta'ala or am I displeasing Allah Ta'ala? Am I crossing the lines, displeasing Allah Ta'ala anyway? Just ask that, that's all. That's taqwa. Anything small or big. Right? That's the essence of taqwa. You picked up your blade, now see, I'm going to be displeasing Allah Ta'ala in picking the blade, or I'm going to be pleasing Allah Ta'ala. Right? You took your comb, so you're asking yourself, is this going to be pleasing Allah Ta'ala or displeasing Allah Ta'ala? At any given time, just think of that. Your relationship with Allah Ta'ala is a relationship of love, not an ordinary relationship. Now, how you make out love? Say it was the day you're getting married, right? And you never see your bride before. But you know she's state of the art. Just once you saw her, and then you send the proposal, right? But you know, she's immaculate. Eyes, face, height, cheeks, complexion, everything, she got it. Right? So now, it's the day of marriage, right? So what's going to be the overwhelming thought in your mind? The overwhelming thought, and one man, like, later he became a buzur. He was my age, slightly older than me. He became a nice buzur, always going on in jamaat, and in his duas, he's crying, reading the fil namaz, doing a lot of khidmat. Became wealthy also, pious also, jamaat also. I remember the day he got married. So I used to joke with him. Twice late, Allah forgive me for joking with him. So I know the day he got married. So the day he got married, I know 50 times he called me, sir. And 20 times he saved. Hey, am I looking smooth or not smooth? Now this was before, Tabligh Jamaat just started around that time. So people are not so deep into the sunnah. But then after he became a buzur, you can't. You won't miss out anything. Jamaat, activity, gush, talim, maybe the first person there. You know, just sending. But now you see the love. He saw the girl. Now it's a day of marriage. I shave it. I say, hey, but Iraq now. Don't peel your skin off now. I will tell you, Iraq is enough now. But you see, that relationship we have with Allah Ta'ala. See now, he had the relationship with his wife to be. And the same relationship you have to have with Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will be happy about. That girl can only offer you so much. Right? And that's max. She can't do more than that. And that also for a limited time. Because after she got 3-4 children, all that, then you can forget all that. Lips and chips and all that, you can forget all that, right? Figure all that, forget. That's only for that limited time she will give all that. After that, it's gone. Yeah, what beauty Allah doesn't have. What beauty Allah doesn't have. The sweetness, the beauty, the greatness, the majesty. You got everything. You look and you just want to look. You look and look. That is just the creation of Allah Ta'ala, you just want to continue looking. So Allah Ta'ala Himself, what will He be? If His creation, in Jannat is so much that you'll fix your eyes on the Hur. You'll fix your eyes sometimes for 1 year, 10 years. You can't just remove your eyes. You're so fixed, you're hypnotized. That girl in Jannat, she'll hypnotize you. And you can't just shift your eyes. She's so much. So if the creation is so beautiful there, then what will be Allah Ta'ala like? Can you imagine? No? His beauty will be such, you know, that if you look at him, then you become beautiful. Just imagine, his beauty, his grandeur, his splendor is such that you see him and you become beautiful. Then you go back to your home, whereas you're looking so beautiful now. You were like this, and now, where this came from? So, Allah Ta'ala got everything in unlimited proportion. It's all for you to bargain for it. See, Allah says, I got everything. But is there any taker? Is there anyone that wants to take? I got everything. You pay and you pick. What? You pay and you pick. Whatever you want, I got it for you. You want beauty, I got it. You want happiness, I got it. You want enjoyment, I got it. You want company, I got it. But you pay for it and pick. The biggest pay is taqwa. See that you don't displease you. In anything you're doing, small or big, even to the extent of giving a child a chocolate, but do it, Allah will be happy. Poor person on the corner you met, and you gave some cash, or a sandwich, or whatever, but Allah will be happy, I'll give it to you. You saw something haram, and you disclosed your eyes, Allah will not like this. So therefore I'm closing my eyes. Some music was blasting, and you closed your window, right? You close the window, you don't want the music to enter, right? Allah Bahul. That's for his love. You don't want to compromise his love in any way. Small, big. You won't ask whether it's a small thing or a big thing. All you'll ask yourself is Allah Bahul happy or not? You know? In the story of love, to talk about the small thing and a big thing, that doesn't work. Whether it's a small thing or a big thing, you will go for it. You won't say, no, I'll try it out, it's a small guna, so Allah won't punish me. But Allah, it displeases Allah. How could I do such a thing? Even if it's a small thing, but it displeases Allah Ta'ala. So, I won't do that. Imagine, right, you eat garlic, right? Chutney and garlic, it's more smelly, right? Or you took some cigarette or whatever, right? Right. One is that you used some bad languages to your wife, very bad language. You yelled at her, right? You swore her, or you gave her one shot, right? That is a big offense, right? It's a big offense. So when you're deeply in love, you won't do that. But a small offense like you met her, but with a smelly mouth, with a stench in your mouth. That's an offense also, isn't it? A big offense is you misused your hands, or you yelled at her, you swore her, used some bad language. That's a big... A small offense is you met her, but with a smelly mouth. Right? Will you appreciate if she said you, but your mouth is stinking then? Would you appreciate that? But when you analyze it, it's still comparatively, it's a small wrong compared to hitting and punching or whatever else. Comparatively, it's a small thing. But will you take a try with smelling mouth or cigarette and garlic and all that, and you're going to be intimate with her? Will you enjoy that? And she must tell you about all this thing. कहते हैं कि तब वो गंदा है, हाँ? So it's a small guna, it may be a small problem, but you don't want that. Why you don't want it? You don't want to interrupt your love. So And it may be that sometimes, you know, some people, I know of people, right, they're so refined in their temperaments, that just once they get a smell, bad smell from their wife, for the rest of their life now, they don't want to be near their wives. See that refinement in the temperament. Yeah? That one experience that one of them had with this smelling mouth, now they don't want to be near. See, now, what I'm getting at is you don't consider the small wrong as a small wrong. Because you don't know the small thing, they just capsize you in the small thing, like a stench smelling mouth. But the small, that small wrong can just capsize you. So, but is Allah happy or not? I must not give it small or big. He is not happy, but I can't be bargaining on this thing here. I can't be working on this. So it works, Allah Ta'ala. So, sometimes it is a small world, but the small thing can become a catalyst to your jannat. A small thing, right? A small thing that you have done. And the small thing can become the cause of your jannat. Man is a sinner, but he was kind to our dog, and he earned his jannat. See that? He was a sinner. The small little act that he's done, that became the reason for his jannat. So the small guna, you don't count it as a small thing. And the small good deed, don't consider it as small. It doesn't mean that you leave out the big and do the small. And it also doesn't mean that you just neglect the small. The small thing can be the cause of the jannat. See, in this story of Tabuk, right? And where Hazrat Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu did not participate, right? He didn't have a valid reason. Right? But when the Tawbah is announced, and Hazrat Ka'b is coming to the masjid, the first person to stand up and embrace him or shake hands with him is a Talha. It's a small act, right? It's a small act. It's not even like, you didn't even, like, there was nothing material that was exchanged. But now Ka'b says, I was so affected, for the rest of my life I won't forget that. For the rest of my life, I won't forget that. And he was the first man that caught up, shake hands or to embrace or, you know, to hug me and give me that warmth. You know, after such a long period of separation, that man stands up and does this. So the small good, don't count it as small. Don't think it's small. It can be your jannat. And the small wrong, don't count it as small. It can be the catalyst to your destruction as well. Remember it? Small thing, don't consider it small. That can be your jannat. You may think, alright, I'm looking at something wrong. Small thing, Allah won't mind. But who knows, that small thing can be the destruction in your life. I know of cases, so many cases, you come on the emails, right? The wife says, I've got nothing to do with my man. Because one time I saw him, and he was viewing something wrong, some porn he was watching. So I just lost the respect and lost the taste for him. Now, in his sight, watching that little porn, in his sight was an insignificant thing. But this girl took it so seriously that I lost the trust in him. I mean, I'm with him because I'm in the marriage. I don't want to walk out of the marriage, because a lot of people say that, you know, you couldn't make the marriage. But if you talk about love and respect and feeling secure, I don't feel secure. But you see that one problem, and it just pushed you away. Just that one problem, you lost that one time, and she saw you. Now she said, I lost this. I don't trust the man anymore. I don't have that level of love. I don't have that bonding. I'm there with him now because I have to be with him. To talk about love, talk about trust, talk about security, I don't feel secure. So you see that the small wrong, don't count it as small. And the small good, don't count it as small. That could be your jannah, that could be your jahannam. The right time you did something, you offered someone something, and you did it with a smile, with happiness, how that person feels. Imagine now, you were at an ijtima, right? And someone brought tea, but it was cold. And the next person came, hey, come on, that's what you want, just give me this thing here. He went and quickly prepared an iced tea like how you want it, strong. You got the sugar, you got the works, and the biscuits, everywhere. Nobody was wanting to help you. Now, just a little small cup of tea, and he did it at the right time, what happens to you? Hey, I won't forget this man. So I wanted the tea at the time, and not the tea. He brought the tea, pot, then he brought the works, the sugar, and whatever else, you know. Chai, wine, not really the chai, but the wine was really brought. All the works were really brought. But I won't forget that. It's a small deed, but how valuable, if it's done at the right time, how valuable. You just win the person, and if you do the small wrong at the right time, at the wrong time, you just lose the person. So by Allah Ta'ala, don't count the small as small, and don't count the wrong, small wrong as small. Allah Ta'ala security.
اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولك الملك كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك جزا الله عنا نبينا سيدنا ومولانا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وصل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد كلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا راحم المساكين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا أرحم الراحمين ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم يا إله العالمين يا الله forgive all our sins يا الله forgive our parents sins our wives and our children our uncles and our aunts our brothers and our sisters our cousins our relatives our neighbors our ustads and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam يا إله العالمين make our مغفرة يا الله oh Allah we thank you for all your favors يا الله All your ni'mas that you have bestowed upon us, O Allah. Allah, we have failed to make shukr to you, Ya Allah. Allah, we only complain to you about all what we are going through, Ya Allah. But we don't ever thank you and express our gratitude towards you, O Allah. Forgive us for this great crime of ours, Ya Allah. Allah, make us from the shakirin, Ya Allah. Make us from the shakirin. Allah, that we can thank you for all your favors that you have blessed us with, Ya Allah. Allahumma laka alhamdu bima hadaytana, wa laka alhamdu bima akramtana. ولك الحمد بما سترتنا ولك الحمد بالقرآن ولك الحمد بالقرآن ولك الحمد بالقرآن والله all praise and thanks to you for blessing us with the Quran الكريم يا الله والله give us the توفيق يا الله that we can live and die with the Quran الكريم يا الله accept us for the خدمة and the service of the Quran الكريم يا الله give us توفيق that day and night we can recite the Quran الكريم correctly, properly with tajweed, Ya Allah. Allah, give us the tawfiq of understanding the Qur'an-i-Kareem, understanding the meaning of the Qur'an-i-Kareem, practicing on the Qur'an-i-Kareem, making tadabbur and pondering over the Qur'an-i-Kareem. Allah, in teaching the Qur'an-i-Kareem and disseminating the knowledge of the Qur'an-i-Kareem to the entire ummah of Allah. Allah, accept us for the khidmat of the Qur'an-i-Kareem ila al-alameen. Allah, this Mubarak month of Ramadan is here, Ya Allah. Give us the tawfiq of making qadr of this Mubarak month, of reciting as much Quran Sharif as possible, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, have mercy on the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, guide the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, forgive the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, we beg you, Ya Allah, there are many masajid that are closed, Ya Allah. Open up all the masajid in the world, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, Harameen Sharifin is closed from us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, open up the doors of Harameen Sharifin for us, Ya Ilah al-Alameen. Allah, we are yearning for Madina Munawwara and Makkah Mukarramah, Ya Allah. Allah, we just heard the ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. the rewards of reading durood right at the Mubarak grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, the doors to the haram is closed to us, ya Allah. Allah, we confess it's because of our own sins and our weaknesses, O Allah. Allah, forgive us, ya Allah, and take us back to Haramain Sharifain, ya Allah. Allah, the month of Ramadan will pass and the days of Hajj will come, ya Allah. What is going to be the condition in the days of Hajj, ya Allah? Allah, please have mercy on the Ummah, ya Allah. Forgive us, ya Allah, and open up the doors of Hajj for us again, ya Ilah al-Alameen. Allah, those who are sick and bimar, ya Allah, grant shifa'i kamila, ajila, daima, mustamira. Allah, those in any kind of difficulty and hardship, remove the difficulty and hardship, O Allah. Allah, bless us with your muhabbat and your love, ya Allah. Bless us with your ma'rifat, ya Allah. Bless us with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, give us tawfiq that we can also read abundant durood upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, give us tawfiq that we can emulate and practice every sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, accept us for your deen, ya Allah. Give us ikhlas and sincerity. Allah, remove all the dirt and filth from our lives and our hearts, ya Allah. Allah, remove all the dirt and filth from our lives and our hearts, ya Allah. Bless us with the good akhlaq and good qualities for which Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked you for, Allah. Allahumma inna nasaluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adha minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna wa maulana Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.